Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, it's a brand new episode of The Magic Sponge. I'm Rob Beck here, and today I've got Ian Smith with me.
Hello.
Hello,
mate.
Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good.
What's happening?
I thought I'd have like a really good story to tell you from my week, but my career isn't going as well as Rob, so I don't have a lot going on. But
what do you do anyway?
Paul Merson.
Arsenal
England legend. Ian, so what's
answer Paul's question, what do I do?
Yeah.
I do stand up comedy and occasionally I act. But I'd say occasionally. My last
acting
job was a while
ago. You've got nothing to report.
Yeah. What was the last one you did?
I was actually in a film with a woman called Kobe Smulders. It was in the Avengers films. So I did a film
with
her.
What is she in the Avengers? What's her part?
I think she's like
extra.
A secretary. No, she's like one of the
She's a walk-on.
She's got lines.
She's got lines.
Yeah, she's one of the leads in this sitcom called How I Met Your Mother, but I've never watched it.
Oh, she's in that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a little humble brag.
Well,
big time.
You should have at least just made something up there when you had nothing to report.
What's her name?
But Kobe Smulders.
Kobe Smulders.
Yeah, but you say that. I was doing scenes of her, having a good time. People were complimenting me. And then...
I know her. She's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, this is fucking good. Acting with a big Hollywood star.
Yeah.
And then I haven't had another acting job since.
Oh.
Wow. So, it's loads of fun.
We're not going to give him that because that's a bit low key now.
Your next one's
an Oscar.
You did Noah's Ark.
Yeah, Noah's
adaptation
Ark.
For the telly.
I saved the human race from a big flood.
Your dad was Noah. You was his son.
Yeah,
was his,
yeah.
Was your
so
name?
My dad saved it. I was called Ham.
Ham.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Ham.
Sorry.
What else is happening, Ian? Before we push on.
All I could think to write down is that I like soup now. I didn't used to like soup, but now I do.
You like soup?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay. What's
found that out now?
I told this to Joel, and Joel was like, "I don't think we should talk about this."
You're 29. You just found out soup.
Yeah. Well, I've had it for a while, and I've been like, "This isn't my cup of tea."
No, it's your cup of soup.
No, it's cup of soup.
That's how I've been doing it. I've been having it in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, you don't
know.
Yeah,
yeah.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Minestrone.
Yeah, so I thought it just didn't sit right.
Your life is a minestrone.
Yeah. So what soup got you into soup then? What flavour?
So I had a lovely pea soup.
A pea soup?
Yeah.
I wouldn't thought pea would be one to turn
no,
someone.
No, because I don't like mushy peas.
Okay.
But I like liquid pea. So I had that, and then I went to a wedding and had a spiced pumpkin soup.
Yeah.
It was lovely, yeah. It made me forget that I was on a table of people that I didn't know, and I thought, we're all fucking idiots. Yeah. And I think one of them listens to the podcast.
Oh, really? Yeah. Obviously, you've called him an idiot now.
Yeah, well, okay. He is.
Well, luckily for us, you don't have too busy a week because I don't know if we'll be able to fit all of it in.
You've got, oh, yeah, no, I've got loads of anecdotes. Yeah. I could list soup for ages.
I'll tell you what, if you got, we'll go back to you in a bit if you have any more updates from your week.
Okay, yeah. No, I'll think of something.
Paul, you'll notice that Jimmy Bullard should normally be with us,
right.
But he's not because he's the laziest man in showbiz. He got the Soccer AM job, he's gone all big time, and he's binned us off because Wednesdays he goes fishing.
It's weird, it's always hectic people, isn't it? Like Jimmy, Gazza, like, I'd never have them to sit down for 10 minutes.
No, but they can.
Do you know what I mean? They could sit there for hours and hours.
Maybe it's the way that Jimmy makes the world all right in his head. That's the way he calms down.
There must be something about fish that relaxes people who are fucking nuts.
You should try fish soup.
Okay, well, let's do your intro properly, Paul. You said hello to Ian before we did it. Well, we've got Arsenal legend, as well as playing for Middlesbrough, Villa, Portsmouth, Walsall, and a number of others. It's only Paul Merson. Thanks for coming on, Paul.
Pleasure.
We'll clap like there's a big audience
here.
Yeah. There's two, three geezers in a tiny room in East London having a chat.
Brings back the old days.
What are you up to these days? I mean, I see you on Soccer Saturday. That's your main gig, isn't it, now?
Yeah, definitely. Do that. And then prediction show on a Friday night with Max Rushton, yes. Who's a good bloke.
Is it like the team spirit of Soccer Saturday like there was when you played? Is there a little bit of?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, when you stop playing, you come towards the end. You know when it's the end. You know what I mean. But the one thing you miss when you do retire is that 10 minutes in the dressing room before the game and after. You know, having a laugh and a joke. And with Soccer Saturday, so lucky you get that every Saturday. It's just an absolute laugh. And anybody who asks always says, oh, you always have a good time on it, and you do. Just can't wait for Saturdays.
But the thing is, it's hard gig that, though, because you're on live telly for ages. Mm. And also, like, and that's hard doing live telly.
I make it look hard.
Well, no, it's not. It's not hard, because everything you say, it's not like you've got no edit. So, like, if you feel like recorded people in a pub talking about football, there'll be bits that, but everything you say is so scrutinised. So if you slip up one little bit, it's on Twitter, it's on, so you get absolutely killed for it.
It was like I was on a League of Their Own the other week, and I said that Harry's better tactician than Arsene Wenger. I mean, wow. it was everywhere. It was everywhere in every newspaper.
Are you on Twitter as well?
I don't do Twitter.
No,
I am on Twitter. My boy will do it if someone asks me to follow or something, but
yeah.
I can't get on that. I don't mind someone walking up to me in Waitrose and saying, Merson, you're a dick. You know what I mean? I can handle that.
Yeah, because you're in Waitrose, you're earning, isn't you, Merson? Absolutely. You wouldn't like it in Lidl.
Yeah, but don't do it behind a phone or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Come up to me and tell me. Do you know what I mean? Then people come up to you after. Well, all right, how are you?
To be fair, Paul, I think with the kind of people that listen to the show, you'll get a lot of people coming up to you going, calling you a dick now just because you've invited.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
But do you wind each other up with, like, because there's that thing, you know, you did that thing where you call someone a top, you said top about eight times. So then that gets, like, turns into a viral thing. And then the Charlie Nicholas said he couldn't see something. Jeff Stelling said, oh, you need to go to Specsavers. And he tried to have a bit of banter.
Oh, no,
he's like,
funny,
we
yeah.
should go to home then because you can't get your glasses. You don't like wearing your glasses. You take your glasses off when it's telly. So you should. And it's just like, it absolutely fell apart. So do you wind each other up with all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, that's on the internet, isn't it? It's one of the worst comebacks ever.
It's his whole world falls apart when he does it because he just tries that. And Jeff's so slick.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the world, Jeff, you should feel his body like he's really fitting. But no, what do you miss most? Is it the dressing room? Is that what you miss most?
I mean, I don't miss playing football. I play still with my mates, don't get me wrong, but I don't, you know, I wasn't one of them. I was quite lucky though, if I'm being honest. As I say, I got into Sky and doing Soccer Saturday. It's not like, you know, I was sitting there when my career finished and I thought, what am I going to do with my life? So that was quite handy. That, you know, it was very handy.
We were going to talk about, like, your early career and stuff. Like, did you always love football and played it from, like, a young kid then? Was you like...
Everything was put in... Yeah, I just loved playing football. I was terrible at school.
Was you natural football as well? Was it more natural? You know, some players are like Gary Neville is a good example of someone, like, maybe not the most naturally gifted, but put the effort in.
No, I would say I was naturally gifted, but very, very shy, very nervous.
Like, really?
I used to play Sunday mornings and I used to have to come off. Used to get palpitations.
Really?
I was that nervous. And then,
because you cast such a confident, like, fun-loving figure. Like, the public know you.
I'm all right now. Do you know what I mean? But that, when I was a young kid, and then went to the doctors and told, like, mum and dad took me there and I said, I'm getting palpitations. I have to come off. I can't breathe when I'm playing. And he just went, you have to stop playing football then. That's what he said. Stop playing football. That's
not very good advice, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can't think of any medical ideas.
Sitting there with a rugby ball, he was. But no, he was, just said stop playing football.
Stop playing football. Yeah. Brilliant. Oh, great.
And then as time went on, I got used to it and thought, right, when it comes, it's going to go. You know,
it's just an anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety, and it'll go, and just breathe, and it'll go. So I still get it every now and then, especially when I'm on aeroplanes. I struggle on aeroplanes. Yeah. So, I'm all right.
Just don't play football on an aeroplane then.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Leave the ball at home, mate. Stick it in the old.
Aeroplanes are like soup for me. I only went on my first one when I was like 24. I was just shitting myself. Yeah, there's loads of kids on it, just like it's normal because they've been on it since a kid. Buying like a metal tube in the sky, going really fast. I had to get on planes.
I was supposed to go to Dublin last week and I couldn't go.
Really, just
melted that morning. Yeah, I wouldn't go.
Oh, no.
They're scary, though, aren't they?
Well, no, shut up, Ian, because he needs to travel for work.
Shut up, because I'll start telling you about soup. And what they put in that soup. It's full of sugar.
Yeah, eight real peas,
full
you know.
Full of sugar.
And then, obviously, you started out at Arsenal. Is that right, your first?
Yeah,
I
went Watford first. I was at Watford from 12 to 14. And then Arsenal wanted to sign me. My dad's a massive Arsenal fan.
All right.
So I signed because of my dad. I'm a Chelsea fan, yeah.
Are you a Chelsea fan?
I wanted to stay at Watford, if I'm being honest. I was gutted when my dad made me say. I was at the time. I was 14 years of age. I thought, you know, I might have a chance of playing for Watford one day.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking in 84. This was like, you know, the days when they were really good, you know.
I think
82, they'd finished second in the top division. So they had good players. And, you know, I thought I had a chance then, but I signed for Arsenal.
And who was in the team when you started to break through at Arsenal?
Oh, Charlie Nicholas, so I've known him how many years. Viv Anderson, Kenny Sampson, David O'Leary, people like that.
A lot of characters.
Yeah, a lot of characters. And then George Graham gave me my debut, and then he like sort of got rid of every one of them in like 10 minutes.
Really?
Which was a big, bold move. I mean, these big names, international players, and he went bang, got rid of them all and brought in a lorry load of kids.
Yeah,
you know, he brought Nigel Winterburn, Lee Dixon, Steve Bold.
It was Keogh and Adams, Niall Quinn.
Yeah, Quinny, and then there was me, Martin Hayes, Mickey Thomas, God bless him, David Rowcastle. So he had young players where he could sort of dictate to, and it worked.
Well, who did you room with out of that lot?
My best mate, Grovesy.
Oh really? Oh yeah, we had him on the podcast.
Yeah,
Rob stole his job.
He's fuming with me because I nicked his job at Absolute Radio.
You'd be on Sucker Saturday.
Oh really? He's doing what's name? Yeah.
He does tours of the stadium, doesn't he?
And he does talk sport.
He was lively though, wasn't he?
Yeah. He used to share with me. Yeah, we had a good laugh. Yeah.
We had Graham Stacker, who said he roomed with Keown, which is quite not a couple. He's quite serious.
I'd have rather gone on my own. No, I'm being honest.
What was he like then?
No, too serious for me.
Really?
He's serious now, isn't he? Serious.
Intense eyes.
No, he was intense. He was like, you couldn't have a laugh or a joke with
him.
He was intense, but good player. Proper defender.
Different groups then that sort of hung around together?
Yeah. You know? You had your Cribs and then you had your West Side. Yeah, it was proper like...
Proper gangland.
It was proper like walk in and you like, what way do you go? No, it was... You always had like... You know, we had our drinkers, so you had me... Baldy, Tony Adams, Grovesy, you know, and then sometimes Nigel. And then you'd have Lee Dixon, Alan Smith, Paul Davies, yeah. Mickey Thomas. So you had your groups. We got on a Saturday, but during the week, I never went out with any of them for dinner.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But what was he like, Grovesy, sharing with Grovesy?
It was all right. It was good. Was he very forgiving?
He was forgiving.
Yeah, very forgiving. Like, we went to Spain. We always used to go Marbella. George used to take us three times a year, like Sunday to Wednesday or Sunday to Thursday, which was great. And he'd come in one night and I was shitting in his pillowcase. And he said, what are you doing?
Why is he doing that?
I don't know. It was a laugh. So when he laid back down, he laid on his pillow. So.
Yeah, but did anything lead up to that? Or you just thought, I might as well?
No, I want just do it, yeah.
So he walked in when you're mid-shit with a pillowcase.
Yeah, mid-shit, what are you doing, he said. And then I was like...
It's not what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because it's not as funny when you get caught mid-doing it.
No.
Because what you want is a big reaction.
So I just like looked at him and went, do you want some soup? And he went,
yeah, we had soup.
Had some soup in the morning.
Just chilled out.
4 o'clock in the morning in Marbella.
Who was that? So was out of that group, because there's a lot of leaders in that group. Was Tony Adams still the leader of them? Even though, because there's a lot of big characters there.
Oh, on the pitch and in the dressing room, Tony.
Yeah, so like, off the pitch as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I think in this day and age, I think you don't get leaders anymore. I think because, one, I think the game's changed. I think people... In them days, you know, Tony will come in and he'll get people wound up and he'll have a go. You know, I think this day and age, people are like, biz. You know what I mean? Yeah. It'll be like players will go, oh, don't be busy or whatever. You know, with Tony... He was unbelievable. I mean, like John Terry would do the same.
Yeah, but you know, he's Roy a bit Keane, of an old. Yeah,
you know them. They're leaders. Them people, you know. But I just think in this day and age, you just don't get them leaders anymore.
No,
I'm just trying off the top of my head.
Yeah, but you know why?
Think of one.
Yeah, that's because Gerrard was, but then he's sort of.
Yeah, I mean,
Noble at West Ham maybe or.
No,
we didn't even play in a lot.
They don't play. I like Noble, but you know, but I just start think that's a hard one. That one, West Ham.
Yeah, aren't they?
Yeah, that's
that
a hard
stadium's
one.
Awful as well.
Yeah, that don't help them. I mean, that was that give them 20 points a season. Their old stadium.
Yeah, because it was a proper atmosphere. Wasn't
proper.
You could probably say Tony Adams like an older brother sort of.
Yeah, to him. I never really see Tony. If I'm being honest, Tony lived right over the other side. Tony was Hornchurch, and
oh really,
me and Baldy were like St Albans. So. Bar Tuesday when we all went out, never.
Oh, really?
I never see Tony.
More like, Steve Bold.
Yeah, Boldy. Me and Boldy. Yeah, used to go to a place called Calendars on a Tuesday. Put our car behind and then say 15 minutes every a pint every 12 minutes, and then when someone spews up, make it 15.
So that was every Tuesday.
We'd all go out every Tuesday, but sometimes if no one could all go out, me and Boldy would always just go on our own.
Yeah. So, but the 12 minutes, so when did that get negotiated from the 12 minutes?
So, no, you just thought about it, and then when someone was sort of sick, and then
we
make
it
15,
back.
Yeah, you don't
want
to go forward.
Were you timing it then, though?
Yeah. No, the barman would just bring one over, wouldn't he? He'd be on a timer, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think he might have been pushing
it. Yeah,
no,
you've got to remember, it's a Tuesday afternoon, 1 o'clock after training, one. There's no one in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not busy.
He's not busy,
he's
is he?
He's bang on 12 minutes every
not
time.
Not doing cocktails, is he? You know what I mean?
He's not shouting that high. It's 12 minutes, what are you up to? What was it like, winning the league 88-89 must have been?
Yeah, I mean, phenomenal. I think if you ask anybody who's an eight, who's old enough to... were born and were old enough to remember football, they would tell you where they were. If they lived in Halifax or Accrington or down in Cornwall, everybody remembers that night if they're
like
old
enough. You know, not even, and it wasn't as big, but the Aguero guy.
Yeah, Aguero's
similar,
big, but he's not as
way at the club.
It's not, you got to remember, it was big, but it wasn't as big because one, you've got two teams playing against each other.
Yeah.
One. Two, on a Friday night, the season's finished. And three... There was hardly any football on television.
Yeah, so that was on.
So everybody was watching it. I think it was probably the first ever live Friday night game. So, you know, for me, it was like, it was a miracle. I mean, Liverpool, much better team than us.
What's celebrations like after that, though?
Good.
Really?
Good. Got home Tuesday. Game finished Friday.
So you stayed at Liverpool?
No, we come home, but then just stayed out. And then Alan Smith, Cardinal sin. Said, I'll come all round my house on Sunday for a barbecue. So, like, thinking the lads were going to go, no, and we all turned up. What was it, a bank holiday? Or was it the Monday? One of the. But we all turned up, but we got thrown out of there.
Was he quite one of the sensible ones?
Yeah, no, he was good. Very good. But yeah, I mean, we're all out in the garden, and Groves has gone inside, and they got their bathrooms. It was like a. I think it was a A bungalow they had. He's moved now, but there was a bungalow. And we're all out in the garden having a laugh, and they've got a window there, and it's a misty window. But you can still sort of, can't see through it, but you can see actions. And you've got Groves is moving everything, putting Ferulic shampoo down the toilet, and you can see it. So when he walked out, it was like, out you go, everybody go.
Oh,
so Groves is spoiled it.
It seems like he's a really, like, you know, annoying, but not in a, like, he would always be up to doing something annoying, winding people up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he loved him, but he was just the one.
No, he was. He's probably the funniest geezer I've met, if I'm being honest.
Would you say the funniest person you met in football?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I would. He's sharp. He's very sharp and things like that. Yeah. He had a good throw as well.
Good throw. Yeah,
good
long throw.
He had a long throw.
Funny and a good throw. Yeah.
Don't ask me for anything else. Yeah. I don't care. Even though he's my best mate. Oh, he was quick.
Quick. What about with the ball at his feet?
No, he was
Quick.
No, quick.
He was quick and he could throw it.
And he ran on his tiptoes.
Yeah. But skill-wise... Who was the best player you ever played with, do you think, skill-wise, with?
Oh, best player I ever played with by a million miles was Dennis Bergkamp.
Really?
By a million miles. Mm. Yeah, he was just so good. It was. He had eyes, you know, there's a saying, you have eyes in the back of your head. He just did. You see pictures, people, good players, they see things that other people don't see, and like Kevin De Bruyne and Bergkamp, I remember we played... He signed and we was over in Norway or Sweden, one of them Scandinavian countries in the middle of nowhere. So we used to leave the hotel and walk to the training ground, which would like be 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
And I remember the first training session, we were walking back and we were like, fuck, Inter Milan must be good if they're letting him go.
Yeah.
Like, it was that much better than us lot. It was embarrassing. He must have gone back in his room and rung up his agent and gone, get me out of here. These are rotten. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you sort of think, though, like, because if you're thinking that and you know, a really good player, like, because obviously at the club there must have been other people that lower down the pecking order or people that were there for a year and then got moved on. They're obviously thinking, fucking hell, how am I playing with Bergkamp?
Oh, well, I
know. Not like Stepanov's jump over us, you know, that kind of player. Because if you're thinking that, love to think what they were thinking.
It was honestly, it was so good, so good. You know, and you just made a run and he'd find you and you're like, he wasn't even looking at me.
And better than Gazza, because you played with
Gazza.
Yeah,
different players. Gazza's the best English player I ever played with, but different kind of players. I think Gazza had his...
It wasn't his peak.
He had his peak for not long, do you know what I mean? But when he had his time, I thought 1990, I thought he was the best player in the world at the World Cup.
Yeah.
I thought he was phenomenal. And then when he was at Glasgow Rangers, I mean, then, but bar that, you look and... Didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
But great player.
What about players you played against? To stop you playing, like...
Maldini's the best I've ever played against.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, cool. Unbelievable player. Yeah. I mean, I thought I was all right. But everything I did, he was already there.
I was like, what?
You're not supposed to be there. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think ahead of you, but it was different class. Yeah, good looking.
So
as well.
Yeah, good looking and just you know what I
mean? Don't mind annoying. Getting marked out the game by Martin, do you? Do you know what I mean? Sorry, Martin.
Martin's
won't be bumping into you anyway. So.
No, you don't hang around.
Hopefully. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't work for BBC.
And then you won the league again in 1990-91.
Yeah.
And there was like, you always like a bit of fighting on the pitch.
Oh, I do. And I'm a United fan as well. But even if I support United, I love watching a fight on the pitch.
Yeah, I wasn't in that. I was in the game.
But you didn't get
involved. Didn't.
You're not a fighter though, really, are you?
No, I don't. I've seen it too many times on a pitch. You know, you get people like Savage and all that and everyone in a fight, everybody. I mean, Villa played Birmingham. I'd already left. But I'm watching the game and he's squaring up to Dion Dublin.
Yeah.
You know, and they're squaring up and Dion nuts him and gets sent off and you think, well, what are you squaring up for? You know he can't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ref should stop the game and go, go on then, 2 minutes. And then see what happens then.
That would be
amazing.
See
what happens then.
Incredible.
And see how many people square up.
That'd be amazing.
The only person I've ever seen
give them gloves
who's gone, someone's gone to him, and Ian Wright's the only person I've ever said, I'll see you in the lounge. And left it at that. Because everybody always goes, see you in the car park, see you in the... No one does. Wright is the only one I've ever seen gone into lounges and try to pull people out and say, come on, now, me and you.
True as well.
Now. He's done it to Darling at Blackburn and he's done it to one of the centre halves, Norwich, straight up to him in the lounge and they just melted.
Really?
Completely and utterly melted.
He's one of those, because he's not that, well, he's not the tallest, right, but he looks like,
oh, yeah,
when
right,
he loses
he's,
it,
yeah, he won't, yeah,
he's
yeah,
an animal.
Yeah, yeah. Right, he won't back down against anybody.
No.
But he's the only one, I've seen many of them go, oh, squaring up and I'll see you after.
Who do you think would be the hardest player you've seen or played with then?
The hardest player I've ever seen is Billy Whitehurst.
Really?
Yeah. Billy Whitehurst. Billy Whitehurst.
If
the lad didn't fight Joshua, I would have put him in the ring with Joshua. He was hard, really hard.
What, scary
hard. If you ask anybody, no one would mess with Billy Whitehurst.
Really? Stuart Pearce?
Stuart was hard, but he was hard, but he was different kind of hard. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he was fair. He was fair. You know, he'd kick you all over the place, and you meet up with England, and he'd like be talking to you. Mm. You'd be like, what? You're just like booting me everywhere. Like,
but
now,
Billy White, you know, that he's sort of like,
he was like proper,
gangster hard.
Like, just, like, you know, proper hard, like he would like beat you up odd.
Yeah.
Like Stuart Pearce would. And Stuart Pearce was like odd but fair.
Yeah, nice guy.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, no, Billy Whitehurst. You ask any footballer around my age and a bit older.
Who did he play for, Billy Whitehurst?
Sheffield United.
Yeah, but he's
Hull.
I'm going to Google him. I want to see what it looks
his
like.
His face. He's got all
your phone. What's ain't
Julian
big
Dix
enough.
Like?
Your phone ain't big enough.
Was Julian Dix?
Oh, yeah, but Julian Dix was hard. I thought he was. I think he was a bit dirty hard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
Whitehurst is just.
Yeah, like Vinnie Jones was a bit dirty hard.
This is Billy Whitehurst.
Look at this picture of him.
Dude, that's hard.
Oh, he looks hard. Yeah, hard. I know what you mean. He looks hard to explain.
Look how big he looks.
His shoulders.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be like the footballers, like just sprinters, like long distance.
Yeah,
runners.
He was like big. Yeah, he was seriously. Yeah. He was hard.
He looks
hard.
Yeah. Billy Whitehurst just wins that one.
Yeah.
And then you got called up for England.
Yeah.
What was that? Before you got like when you was a kid, you got like nervous. Yeah. So when you signed for new clubs or got into the England team, did you get that anxiety thing again?
Yeah,
at all?
Especially new clubs for England. I mean, I was lucky enough that God bless him, Graham Taylor picked me for England against Germany when East Germany and West Germany first game together.
Oh wow!
So that was massive. We lost 1-0 and I come on as a sub. So. But then when you make your full debut, to line up for the national anthem and that minute, you are in the best 11 players in your country at the time. You just don't realise how big that is. In a footballing country, to be in the best 11 out of everybody in your whole country.
And you bet you're the best in that position.
In that position at that time.
Yeah.
It might not be the same the week after but at that time you're the best player.
There's nowhere higher to go really, is there? No, there isn't, as an individual.
And that's where the top players like your Giggs and your Scholes and your people like that and your Beckham, you just kept on doing it week in, week out. You know, they got to the top and just kept on winning titles after titles, because when we won the titles, you know, 1989-91, you think you're just going to keep on winning them. And you know, it's hard.
To stay there, yeah.
You know, people, you know, unless you've won it, it's hard to understand how hard that last eight games are. The last eight are like, they're just so hard. It's so different to the first 30.
Yeah.
Just because you know
we might win, you know, to win it. I mean, and it's a horrible thing because you don't appreciate it until someone else wins it. You know, you win it and you think, and it sort of passes you by, especially when you're younger like I was and you're drinking or, you know, and you're having a good time and living the life. But it's only when you look at other teams when they win it and they're celebrating, you think, wow, that's big.
Yeah.
It's big, isn't it?
You don't realise it until someone else
does it, which is not a nice. But, you know, when you get older, when I won the championship with Portsmouth, you know, I was old enough to stand there and sort of take it in and think, wow, this is massive. You know, they haven't been in the Premier League or top league for God knows how long, and you know the excitement and everything. You know, I took that in, and I always remember that. For me, that was the biggest thing I ever did in football.
Really? What
were
you in Portsmouth?
Yeah, 100%.
Why was that then?
Because it was just, they'd always finish bottom half every year, rank outsiders to win the league.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're at Arsenal, you're expected to win stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that finished bottom six for about God knows how many years on the trot. You know what I mean? So. To go and do what we did and get in the Premier League was the biggest thing. Because at Arsenal, you expected to win stuff. There's no, you know, not like these days now. You come in the top four and, you know what I mean? It's party time. You had to win or that was it.
Wasn't that Portsmouth where you lied to Harry Redknapp and went on holiday?
Yeah, I mean... Would you use the word lie?
I don't lie. Misled.
Yeah, misled.
No, but it's only why I say that, because you say, like, oh, it's such a big achievement. I'll tell you
the story, but I only found out the story. I only realised he knew the story 4 years later.
Okay.
So
right.
I'll tell you the story. We play Man United in the FA Cup. We're top. We're top of the Championship. They're top of the Premier League. We lose 4-1. Play a league game the next week. Play a week and league game the following week. After that game, I go to Harry. Harry, the team we're playing next week are still in the FA Cup, so we got a 2 week break. I said, I'm struggling with the gambling. I said, can I go in Tony Adams' treatment centre for a week? So, you know, we ain't got a game. Not a problem, Merce. Get yourself well. I'll see you a week Monday. So he thinks I'm in training.
And everyone else is still in training.
They're in training. So I get home, I say to the
missus. What's the gambling problem at that point?
That was fuck all wrong with me. I was gambling. I was again. I was booked to go to Barbados. It was the only thing I could think of. So I flew to Barbados. So I'm with my ex-wife at the time and the twin girls. So I get there, day late or 2 days late, I'm walking down the road. All of a sudden, this is Harry telling us, I walk down the road. So I don't realise, right? I bump into Michael Tabor and we're talking away. And do you reckon you'll go up? He's a horse racer. He's one of the top horse people. He's big in horse racing. Massive. Yeah, right. Michael Tabor, yeah.
Horse people, you just said.
But he's in horse racing, So I don't know he's one of Harry's best mates. So he goes back.
You bumped into Harry's best
mate. He goes straight back to his villa after. I say, bye, have a nice time. So he goes back, rings Harry. All right, Harry. All right, how are you? He went, yeah, good. He went, I've just been one of your players. Harry's gone, who's that? He went, Paul Merson. He went, what the fuck's wrong with you? He went, what? He went, he's in Tony Adams' treatment centre. He went, no, he's not. He's in Barbados. I've just seen him. So I get back. Harry doesn't say a word. Score on the Saturday, doesn't say a word. 4 years later, I'm on goals on Sunday. So I leave the house. I'm married to my ex-wife now is married so to her. So I leave in the house. She went, where are you going? I said, I'm on goals on Sunday. She went, oh, what time's that on? I said, I think it's 10:30 on Sky Sports 1. All right, so she's going to watch it, do you know what I mean? So sit down on the couch. I don't know nothing, right? Sit down, starts. Cammy, what was Harry like to play for? He was brilliant, this and that. What was Merce like to play for? Brilliant. He tells a story. He says, we're playing Man United. So I don't even know he knows his story. And then I'm sitting there like that, and he goes, yeah, and he comes to see me. He went, I need to go into Tony Adams Treatment Centre because of the gambling and the birds. I went, no birds. No birds. I'm worse watching. No birds. You know, you need to say. I had to tell him to say on the telly. No girls. Yeah. Just gambling. Do you know what I mean? But that's what he was like. He was brilliant. Never said a word. And he said, you know.
No birds. Yeah, I don't mind the rest of them. No birds.
Don't say that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So, I don't mind getting in trouble for
a
story.
But that's what he was like, Harry. Oh, he was brilliant.
Did he not mention Barbados then? He just said.
Yeah, he was just going to say Barbados. He was going to tell the rest of the story. Yeah. But then when he said that, I was like, whoa.
But the reason he had to go to the treatment centre was the birds.
I said, no, don't say that. You know, it was gambling.
Joel's just written the Kitman story.
Oh, yeah. Nightmare. So, yeah, Portsmouth. I get to Portsmouth. I sign for Portsmouth. So we train at this place. It's not the greatest, little dressing room. So finish training, take my kit off and throw it in the middle of the dressing room, like you used to do when you were at Arsenal and Villa. Yeah. So throw it, and all the lads started laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? I said, you clean your own kit here. I said, you don't fucking clean your own. I said, this is a championship. I mean, it ain't, we don't clean our own. What am I doing here? Don't clean our own kit. Yeah. He said, you clean your own kit or the kit man does it for 40 quid a month or something like that it was. 40 quid a month. I said, I'm not paying. Not paying. I have my kit done. I said, well, you have to go. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. His name was Kev, Big Kev. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Kev. I said, clean my kit for nothing. And if we get promoted, I'll give you 10 grand. We fucking got promoted.
So I had to give him 10 grand.
Could have had 40 quid a month.
Oh, I could have had 40 quid. I could have done me about, what would have done me about? 800 quid it would have done. 900 quid.
10 grand.
Yeah. Were you that confident that you wouldn't get promoted?
Oh, majorly. I mean, this team come bottom six every year. I mean, they're never going to go up.
Who was in that team? Was that when
we had a good team. Harry bought...
Was Crenshaw there?
No. He bought him straight.
That's been the month he didn't have it.
Yeah. No, he started after that. It was... Shaka Islop was in goal.
Yeah.
And then you had
Rufus Brevitt?
No, Foxy you had. Foxy, big Australian lad, great player. Arian Jizou. Tim Sherwood was there. Steve Stone.
Linvoy Primus, is it?
Linvoy Primus, nicest man in football.
Linvoy Primus.
I said Rufus Brevitt because of the dreadlocks.
Yeah, dreadlocks, great bloke. He was, for me, he was player of the year. He was never, ever going to play.
He was a captain, wasn't he?
Nah, I was captain. Come on. Call someone.
When you weren't in Barbados.
Yeah.
Leading the team.
I went about playing. I went. Well, there was
what's
no game
then. I'm going Barbados. I'm the captain. I'm the best. I'm the best player
but
here.
No,
listen
we had
to
good
me.
Players. I mean, we had Yakubu.
Yakubu?
Yeah, we had him. Yeah, we had good players. We had Todorov, a lad called Todorov. Matty Taylor.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, we had
free kick wand.
Yeah,
did you let him take the free kicks then?
Yeah. He took a couple. Yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't school captain.
I
weren't throw on goal kicks and everything.
He wrote the theme tune for Paul.
Yeah, I don't do. I weren't like one of them. No.
Did you say Harry's one of the best managers you played under?
Yeah, definitely. Man management, definitely. I mean, you know, he looked after us. You know, he was really good. Didn't train a lot, and you know, and played on Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Walsall, and you know, the deal was that I was just going to train a couple of days a week, and then players started getting the ump because I weren't training and the manager melted and he, you know what I mean? Instead of saying he's played 700 games and won everything in the game, you lot have won fuck all.
Yeah.
You know, that's why
and
he ain't in training.
You,
but Portsmouth, the lads were brilliant. They were absolutely never moaned once. When I trained a couple of days a week, never moaned and they just got on with it and they were like, you know, brilliant. But it was me and Vinny Samways used to play at Walsall, and Vinny used to live in Spain.
And
he played
for
Walsall and played for. Yeah, he lived in Spain and played for Walsall. So he had a deal where he'd go home and then just come back Thursday. Do you know what I mean? Train Thursday, Friday, play Saturday. Vinny was a good player. He was a good player, Vinny. Really good player. But, and then the lads started getting the ump and they were bringing us in earlier. Do you know what I mean? And then me and Vinny.
Well, we just don't do
time
it.
Saturday, couldn't play as knackered.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, Vinny's air miles went down and everything. You know what I mean? That's why it all went
how
wrong.
Do you think England would have done if Redknapp went there instead of Hudson? Do you think he would have?
I think he'd have been good. I really do. I think, you know, him and Brian Clough are the two managers, I think, that just never managed. Spot, We mismanaged in England. I mean, he's not a yes man. He's not, you know, he's different. You know,
what
different.
I think the England team needs as well is the country aren't really behind them. No one really cares.
Yeah.
Like, qualifiers, no one's going to games. But if you have Harry Redknapp or someone who's a bit like got a bit of personality and makes it a bit of like a team spirit and gets them, they
the
need
fans,
to make it fun for the
well,
players.
Well, the
to
fans
play.
Can relate to him, can't they?
Yeah.
You know, he's one of
Allardyce
he's
had a bit of that as well.
Yeah,
like,
Sam, yeah, I think Sam would have done well. I really do
think. The video
you
of
know,
him
you look at it with the Sam thing, I think it's a bit. I think it was.
It's a bit
a
harsh.
Bit of very harsh. If you look, I don't know what he really said because he turned around and said, really, I'll have to ask the FA first.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Said, like,
you know, so, you know, I think it was one of them. They had to sort of, it seemed to me that they had to give him the job and then when they had a chance not to, they just ripped
it's
it
a bit
away.
Horrible when you see it. How pleased
I mean, he had the ultimate
then...
job in the world, didn't he? If you're an Englishman, you know, to manage your country and then to lose it like that must be devastating.
When you play for England, there was sort of like Ian Wright, Shearer, Ince, Letizier. What's Letizier like playing with?
I never played with
him. You never played with him?
I never played with him. I don't think we ever played together.
You're very similar types of players,
though,
aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think we ever played together, really.
I thought
he
was in the squad at about the same time.
Yeah, I was probably in the squad. I just couldn't imagine both of us being on the same pitch at the same time. Yeah, you have one, but to have two,
it's a bit of a luxury.
You've got to have a lot of run around. There's a lot of workhorses in that team if both of us are playing. So, I always say one of the most talented English football players. I'd love to have seen him leave Southampton.
What was it like in the squad, though? Obviously, you've come from a big load of characters in the Arsenal team and then going there. Was it similar? Was it a bit? Was there a different atmosphere?
It is different. It's the same again. I mean, you know, all the United lads would sit together. You'd have round tables. So when you have lunch and dinner, they sit together. And, you know, it was very, clicky. Not in a bad way, but, you know, you just sat with them lads. They weren't bad lads.
Those people you know.
They were good lads. They were just
kicking lumps out of
each other. It's comfortable, you know, the players you're with. You know, you're going away. But, yeah, I mean, you look at then, you reel off all them players then, you know, and you reel them off now.
Yeah.
It's just different, you know, differently.
Yeah, the England squad doesn't feel like the best 11 players.
Well, you
in
look
the
at
country,
it now.
Right?
I mean, you know, up front, we used to have Ferdinand, Fowler, Owen, you know, people like
Shearer.
I mean, Robbie Fowler, Ian Wright, and Les Ferdinand.
Yeah, well, they can get in.
You put them three together, they put all their caps together, and. Like someone like Vardy will probably beat all, could someone's going to beat all them, or Sterling could get more caps than all them put together.
Yeah,
put together.
Yeah,
or Welbeck, who's decent, but he's not that level.
No, but you know, you look at you know, you look how many would have got in 98 squad.
Well, you made the 98 squad playing in the Championship, which...
I don't know if that's the only time ever. I don't
but
know.
It's one of the...
I don't think it's happened since.
Yeah, but imagine now, even if someone got called up for a friendly from the Championship, people would be like, what?
Yeah.
Mm. Do you know what I mean? So to make the squad...
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps playing for a bigger team. I was playing for Middlesbrough and I'd played for Arsenal, so it was... You know, and Glenn Hoddle was, you know, I was his kind of player, if I'm being honest. You know, he liked players who could play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but fair play to him as well. Because, you know, it's easy to step away and go, no, I'm not, because he's not in the Premier League.
Yeah. How was it at Middlesbrough? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard. But
did you commute?
Yeah, all the time. I drove every week for about the first 2 months, and then I got a train.
From Birmingham?
Yeah, no, from London.
From London.
Left at 5 in the morning, got there and then drove back home after.
That's absolutely insane.
Every day that was.
Too tired to
every
do
day.
Anything.
So that's 10 hours of driving a day.
I scored one goal in my first
HGV
league games, and that was Stockport County. Yeah, I had a disc. I had to keep on stopping for night after 4 hours. You stopped.
Yeah, that had
tachograph.
He turned up, sorry, the EU working time directed. I've done 10 hours on the road.
Brian. I just got there and couldn't train. And then I got a train. They used to put me on a train.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to pay for that. 140 quid return.
What, every day?
Every day.
First class?
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
You're listening to this story, aren't you?
Did you move up there at some point as well?
Yeah, I moved up. Me and my brother moved up. Yeah, because my wife wouldn't move up at the time. She didn't want to. She said, I'm not moving.
It's Middlesbrough as well, you know.
I lived in Hutton Rugby. I lived in a place called Hutton Rugby in North Yorkshire. It was nice. It was a nice place.
Was that where you lived with your brother? Or did you live with Gazza
as
well?
Yeah, Gazza moved in with us. And then we used to play a game, yeah, every night, every day.
And Jimmy
Friday.
Five Bellies, is
and
that?
And Jimmy, yeah. What Get game? Back from training at 1:30. Yeah. Me and Gazza give Jimmy and my brother a load of money to go and get some bottles of red wine. We come back, we put red wine into these massive glass jugs, and every day by Friday, because we had a game on Saturday.
Yeah.
My brother and Gaz would sit on one sofa, me and Jimmy would put on the other. We put a load of money each on the coffee table, and then we'd start drinking red wine, and we'd pop a sleeping tablet every hour. And whoever fell asleep last just picked the money up off the table, and that was it. That's all we
done. So whoever stayed up the longest
just won the money.
Oh, so
it'd make an incredible TV show, wouldn't it? Get celebrities, red wine, sleeping pills.
You're chatting away, but then you go like that, and then like you look around, you go, oh, and as you go to take the money, someone will go, what are you doing? You go, oh, fuck. Do you know what I mean? So, no, but it was a great club, real, real great club, great supporters. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. I mean, we'd go to like, played Reading in the quarter final of the League Cup. And, like, they filled the whole away in on a Tuesday night at Reading. You know, we go to Oxford Tuesday night. You know, we beat Liverpool over two legs in the semi-final of the League Cup. I mean, you know, Owen, McManaman, Redknapp, you know, proper players. And then, we beat them over two legs. We were in the Championship. Unbelievable.
How much does that, when you go, like, away to Reading and you see, like, the away stand packed out, does that like affect your performance? Because
fancy it, like, you know, you turn it up, yeah. You know, you can play for other clubs and you come out and there's about four of them behind the goal.
Yeah,
and
you think, fuck this.
Oh, fuck. If we don't work out, we'll give you money back or something. You know? But when there's like 5,000 or 4,000 away behind the ground, and then you're talking. But, you know, I have so much respect for away fans.
To travel away
is like... And the Middlesbrough is a long way, you know what I mean? Everywhere we went. I mean, QPR away, like on Tuesday night, we filled the away and we got beat 5. But in them days, it was like, we played QPR. So I'm living in London. So they would meet us at the hotel. So I meet them at the hotel for a pre-match, like at half four. They were late, plane was late, it was foggy. Got there about 20 minutes, about half an hour before kickoff, 40 minutes before kickoff. We were 4-0 down at half time. 4-0 down, seriously. How bad is that? Seriously, I mean, we play on the Saturday, you've got 4 days to get down to London and you're late, do you know what I mean? And then, the league was done on goals scored. So if you were level on points at the end, it was goals scored. And Robbo's thing at half time was, right, just go out. I don't care if we lose 20, but make sure we score. Because you know what I mean? We ain't winning the match. So, but we've got to beat 5-0.
Quick, with the Gazza thing, how did you end up living with Gazza? What, how did that come about?
The Ravenelli had a clubhouse, 6-bedroom clubhouse.
All right.
And then they put us in it. And then when Gazza signed, they said you can go and live
with Merce.
It was the
clubhouse.
Yeah, it was clubhouse.
Was Ravenelli in there as well?
He was before he left. And then
because
I
of the
took it over.
No,
he'd gone. And then I moved in there then. Yeah. I moved in 6 bedrooms. Gazza used to sleep on the sofa for about
was
a month.
Was Paducah there?
And I used
didn't
to
he
come
use
down.
A bedroom?
No.
No.
He didn't know it was 6 bedroom for about a month. So he used to sleep on the sofa and I used to think... Because obviously you wake up like with the sleeping tablets about 8 o'clock, you know what I mean? Because you'd be asleep by 4. Do you know what I mean? And he's always like... And one day I said to him, what are you doing? He went, sleep on the sofa. And I said, it's 6-bedroom house. 6 bedrooms. He went, oh, well, there was a bed, is there? So that was it then. That was it.
That would have made the greatest reality TV show of all time. The cameras in the Middlesbrough clubhouse.
You would have.
And Aston Villa. Talk about Aston Villa. What was John Gregory like?
Good. I liked John. Yeah, I really did. I mean, we didn't get on at first. Didn't get on at first at all.
No?
I wouldn't move up. I was living in London. I didn't find the point of moving up. I mean, it was an hour and a half, like from where I lived.
Used to do a 10-hour round trip.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you know what I mean? Now I'm just driving a van. Do you know what I mean? Before I'm driving a lorry, an Arctic lorry, now it's a van. So, you know, an hour and a half from where I lived in St Albans to where we trained. And then one day we lost the game and he went, right, we're all in the morning. And then got in the morning. Went home and then got up. It's Sunday morning, got in. And he went, right, everybody have a bath. And I was like, I've just travelled an hour and a half for a bath. He went, well, move up.
Yeah.
And that was it. Then I moved up. And it was a great club. Really great club.
Why did I have to have a bath?
I know, yeah. I mean, come in and just... he'd done it for me.
Just to annoy you.
Yeah, of course he did. Because I, you know... As my career went on, I was pretty outspoken. You know what I mean? I talked my mind. But you do when you come more experienced. Yeah. When you're younger, you don't. But when...
Did you have any big rows with managers?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah, everyone, you know. Yeah, Harry brought me off against Man United. You know, we had massive argument there. I was struggling. I was having injections in my ankle. I wanted to play at United. I was coming towards the end of my career. And then, with George, I've had... Not too many with George, more like with going out and not football-wise. Right, yeah. And John Gregory, a few massive arguments with him.
And did you enjoy management when you did it?
I did like it. I always wanted to be a football manager. Always wanted to be a football manager. But I was coming towards the end of my career and I was at Walsall and I was a bad trainer at Walsall. I didn't like the training.
Yeah.
We used to train on like a school pitch. The school owned it. So we'd get there and the kids would be training. We'd have to wait for them to finish their PE lesson and then we can train. I'm like, where's my career going here? And then I was a bad trainer. And we had a great coach. He was a great coach, Colin Lee. He wasn't a good manager. He was a great coach.
Yeah.
Like, but he put on these sessions like that. He'd gone and watched Real Madrid and Juventus and all that. And now he's managing Walsall and he's putting these sessions on and everybody's like... What? You know, and it was taking an hour, and I just get the ball and I just kick it down the road, literally, and then just walk off. Yeah, and just walk off. And he pulled me one day and he said, you know, I've been talking to managers because, you know, I haven't managed anybody like you before. He said, just do me a favour. If you don't like the training, just pretend you've pulled an hamstring and sit behind the goal.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass me. Do you know what I mean?
Fair play.
Because
yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I'm not. I hate. I don't.
Because
like,
you're passing. I don't through like. For a year
yeah,
or so.
I don't like belittling people and all that. And then the players had seen that, and then I become the manager.
Because they'll just do whatever Paul does. Yeah.
Yeah. I was sub on a Saturday one day, and there's a. What's his name now? Jamie Lawrence, great lad. I don't know if you know him. Jamie Lawrence, good bloke. But he was really hard as well, really hard. So we're playing away one day to someone, and I said to him, we're having a practice match, and you know the team, because I'm not playing, because the team's set up. So I said, do me a favour, James, just go through me a little bit, and then I'm not travelling. Do you know what I mean? I'm not having that. I said, I'm a sub, and I'm not, nah. I said, so just go through me, but like slightly, and then I'll go over. And then
pretend you're injured.
Yeah, and I ain't going that far to be sub for Walsall. So we're playing this practice match, and Jamie's hard. And I'm going down the wing, and he goes boom, and he crunches me, puts me fucking flying across the floor, and he stands over me. You all right? I went, all right, I'll probably be out a month now. I proper bust me up again. Proper. Really? Yeah, but no, he was a great lad. But the manager was, he was, what's his name? And then when I got the job, the players sort of thought they could do what I did. They didn't really. Yeah. They were my mates before, and it was... I would have loved to have been manager of somewhere where I could go in and no one knew me. Not,
yeah,
but knew my, how I was as a trainer at the end. And these were my mates, and I just couldn't tell them what to do, if I'm being honest. I found it quite hard. Because I'm not a shout. And I'll shout at people. Yeah. I come in at full time, I shout, and then and then on Monday I'll be like, sorry about that, mate. I don't mean to shout like that.
But you've got so much natural ability, and like it's just come so natural to you, as well as putting in the, you've obviously put the effort in as well.
Oh, yeah.
So when you see the people training that aren't, haven't got you, trying to explain to what to do, and they just can't do it, is it frustrating? We want just do it.
It was, because there was a lad there called Mick Olsall, who was a great coach, and like for the youth team he was in. When I got the job, he said, just keep on telling them. Just keep on telling them what to do. Keep on telling them. I said, what? I said, you get told once. You know, when you're at Arsenal, you're told once, and if you don't, if you're told again, you'll be out the door.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting it. And he said, no, not in these leagues. You have to keep on telling them. And I found that very odd.
Yeah.
That's because when I played football, you told me once to do something, and that was it. You wouldn't have to tell me again. And that was odd. But... Some great lads come. I mean, Scotty Dan was there. I mean, I told Scotty Dan he wouldn't make it as a footballer.
Really? But he went on and played top level, didn't
he? Yeah, a good level. He's been outstanding at Palace. But that's only
because... Why did you not think...
Because he got sent on loan to Redditch, which are about five leagues below us, up in the Midlands. And they sent him back after 2 weeks. I said, if you can't play for Redditch, what chance you got for playing for us? I said, you know, you probably have to go and look at something else. But fair play, he put his head down and bang, he worked his socks off. You know, I had people like Daniel Fox brought him and Scotty Dan from Everton Reserves, you know, at the time. And fair play, God bless him now, Gary Ablett. He was the manager of the Reserves at the time and he didn't want them to let go.
Mm.
And I think it was David Moyes was the manager at the time, said they can go. And they turned out to be, I mean, I think both players have been for £5 million.
Really?
In their careers, which...
Do you still speak to Scott Dan about that?
No, I've
seen
Scott Dan. I did see him at the cinema a few years ago when he got out of his massive Range Rover, like, and the sun was like... Yeah, and I just said to him, fair play to you. Fair play.
Yeah.
You know, good. That's what you want to see. You want to see people prove you wrong. You know, people go, oh, you know, yeah, he's right. But I was just going by what...
What you happened at Redditch.
At Redditch, but... You know, sometimes it's harder to play in them lower leagues than what it is the higher you go up. You know, I go and watch my boy at St Albans, you know, and he plays in the one underneath the conference. And believe it or not, it's harder than the Premier League.
And obviously you went out on the Tuesday Club and that kind of stuff like that and had a reputation of, like, partying and stuff. But was there anyone that you saw and were like, oh, he's a bit hard working a night out? Like, is there that you found was, like, too much of, like, the tear away?
Jimmy Carter when he first signed Arsenal was a bit when he first signed he would get drunk very quick but great lad
just a lightweight.
No, he's a good lad, like, I mean, you know, and then he would do something like first time we ever went out, he come out with us like, this is Arsenal, we're Arsenal Football Club, do you know what I mean? You've got to sort of can't take it too far, do you know what I mean? Go out, you have a good time. But you know, I remember first time we ever went out, we're standing at a bar and he's weighing up the bar. I mean, this is Arsenal. You can't do that, Jimmy.
Not on your first night out.
I think he's like thinking, I'll impress the lads. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, we all do that. You know what I mean?
Bernard likes pissing at the bars, doesn't he?
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Doing the cleansman across tables as well.
The dance floors I've done. When I used to go Norway or Sweden or somewhere, like, we'd get one night out and the lads would all be sitting there and, like, I'd walk in and I'd just slide straight across the dance floor, take about 15 people with me, like, and then just get up and walk
to the
bar. And
2 foot people.
And
the lads
would just go, oh, my God. And think about it now, I think, what was I like? But, you know, it comes with age, doesn't it?
People do that, don't they, when you're
young? Yeah, it comes with age.
Brilliant, Paul. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks for having
us. And I think you're going to be joining us next week to chat with Neil Ruddock.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I am.
He's going to start just looking at
Everybody's looking at each other.
What are we doing now?
We've got no Bernard next week or whatever it is.
Neil's got to get in this room.
Neil Ruddock has got to get in this room. Fingers crossed.
No
chance. He's
got to get up them stairs, yeah.
He might be able to get in, but his balls might be able to fit through the door.
Have you got a lift?
Cheers, Paul. Thank you very much. Paul Merson. I've been Rob Beckett. You've been Ian Smith, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolute soup, man. Right, see you next week. Bye. The Magic Sponge is a .. production for Dave, hosted by Rob Beckett, Jimmy Bullard and Ian Smith.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video.
Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.